Well, that introduction before the song, you might have thought you were having another visiting preacher, but no, that's just me. So good evening to everyone, and it's so good to see everybody here tonight, and it's good to see, if we may have a few visitors among us, and we do appreciate your presence. You are always our honored guest, and we're glad to have you. If you can, just make sure you make plans to come back this week for our Vacation Bible School. The teachers have been working tirelessly and to prepare for this week for our kids, and I know that the kids will not be disappointed this week. So come back if you can. Tonight, our lesson is going to come from James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Reads like this: James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, in greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Is that how you and I feel? When do we count it all joy when we fall into temptations? When troubles of any kind come our way, do we consider it's an opportunity of great joy when we have troubles? Do you consider it that when your faith has been tested, or when it is being tested, do you consider, you know what, that's great, I have a chance to grow? What do you and I do when trouble comes our way? What do you and I do when our faith is tested? You see, I think oftentimes, what do? We seek advice. We seek advice, and where do you go to for advice? Better yet, who do you go to for advice? Do we often forget verse 5? Are there times in our life when we're going through something, maybe we're going through a temptation, we're going through a struggle, that we forget where we can go to for wisdom? Do we forget James 1 verse 5 when he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Let him ask of God. Do we need wisdom to get through this life? You better believe it. You better believe we need wisdom. So let us not forget to seek after God's counsel. You know, somebody in our presence, you said, you know what? I asked God. I went to God. I prayed to God. But you know what? He didn't answer my prayer. Well, did he not answer it? Did he not answer it yet? Did he not give you the answer that you thought should come from that prayer? You see, I think that's sometimes a struggle that some of us may have, is that we go to God and we ask him something, and because he doesn't give it to us, then we blame him for the outcome. We know that he is just. We know that he is righteous. We know that all good things come from him. So how can we blame him for something that's going on in our life? We should be leaning on him for strength. We should be leaning on him for help, for support, for advice, for guidance. So tonight we want to discuss seeking godly advice in an ungodly world. Now, some of you may have heard this type of advice before. You may have been given this type of advice. Do what makes you happy. Create the life that you want. Love yourself first. Follow your heart. You know, at hearing this type of advice, it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But when you think about it, when you step back just a little bit, and when you realize, what is it actually saying? Really isn't good advice at all, especially to someone who's a Christian. Yet this advice, it's posted on things. This advice is you can buy merchandise with these sayings on it. This advice here is the advice that comes from the world. You know, and although this advice has very good intentions, This kind of advice can lead to destructive habits. This advice is all about self. Serving what you want. Doing what makes you happy. Doing what you think is right. And even sometimes at the expense of others. But the question, is that what God wants for His children? Is that what God wants for us as children of God? Is that how He wants us to think? You know, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's many ways that we think we should do something. We think this is the way to do it. We think that's the way to do it. And we never get God's counsel on it. We never go to Him and ask Him, or we don't go to someone who is a godly person who takes the Scriptures and tries to help us. So there's times in our lives that it's just like this picture here. There's so many different paths. And we just think, well, I'll take this one, I'll take this one, I'll take this one, I'll take this route. When we should be thinking about what God wants. You know, I'm going to go through several different pictures here. And think about these pictures, and think about what advice would the world give? Is it okay for parents to give their kids a sip of alcohol? What would the world tell you? What's one sip going to hurt you? Everybody else is doing it. What would a Christian tell you? More importantly, what would God tell you? What about this picture? You need to try to smoke a joint. Just one time. Just go ahead. Just get it out of your system. Just go ahead and try it. Is that what the world would say? Oh, it's just an herb of the ground. God made it, so it must not be bad. What would the world say? What would a Christian say? What would be the advice of a Christian? What would be the advice from God? Let's try to take a bunch. Just doesn't matter. Let's just take some pills. Let's go to that. I know one time I've read about, you know, these parties where people have brought just a bunch of pills, just put them in the middle of tables, and they just start taking the pills. What would the world say? It's fun. Go ahead and do it. What about this one? This chart was taken from 2013, and it shows the percent of people who feel that having premarital relations is morally unacceptable. Where's the United States on that list? Just above 25%. This is in 2013. Just above 25% of Americans feel that premarital relations is morally unacceptable. There was a time in the United States when it was universal that they thought that it was unacceptable. And then as time went on, that percentage has shrunk and shrunk. And in 2013, was just over 25%. What advice would the world say? Sow your wild oats. Get them out of your system. What would a Christian say? What would God say? You know, what about this one? It's just a box of milk duds. It ain't going to hurt you. You don't get the money for it, just go ahead and take it. What about a piece of bubble gum? Something smaller, something larger. Doesn't matter. What would the world tell you? What would your friends tell you? What would God tell you? What about those that just use curse words? What advice would you give someone who curses? What advice would you get? And if we're trying to encourage our kids, do they hear those words from our mouth? What advice would the world say? It don't matter. It's just words. We have the social media, and it just, even on the elementary level, things that I've had to deal with as far as social media things coming into the school and seeing the curse words that elementary kids use. The number of office referrals that I've had where, you know, cursing. Where did you hear that from? Well, my parents do it. Again, what example, what advice would you give to someone? You know what, and this one here, how about telling lies? Surely we can tell a lie. Sure, just one little lie won't matter. What does the world tell you? Well, I can tell you what it tells you. Because I love Disney Channel. But if you watch those shows, and even the ones that are considered good, you know, that you would consider good shows, the kids are constantly telling lies to the parents. And then when I sit back and think, you know what? Why? You know, they're telling the parents lies, and then the friends are okay with that. And so what is the world saying? It's okay to lie. What would a Christian say? Does it really matter who you have as a friend? It doesn't matter that your friend... my friends do all those things right there, but those things won't affect me. It doesn't matter who I hang around with. It doesn't. You know, my friends don't have any effect on me whatsoever. What advice would you give to someone that said that? You know what? This may be one of the biggest factors determining if you participate in all those other pictures. If you have the wrong kind of friends giving you the wrong kind of advice. Advice that's not godly at all. I like this quote that I found here. If the only way you can fit in with your friends is by doing bad things, then you need some new friends. So what advice would you give to someone? Well, this is some advice that I would give you, especially those who are Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So those things that were before, that I showed you before in all those pictures, those of us who are Christians, those things are put to the past. Those things you may have participated in, but you don't participate in those things any longer. We are a chosen, we are set apart from the world. We are someone that is different. We are someone, a people who is unique because we are God's people. We are children of God. We no longer belong to the world. Being called different, it's not, people don't want to be called different, do they? But see, we're called out to be different. We're called out to not be like everyone else. We're called out to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice in Romans 12, verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Our bodies is a living sacrifice that we want to present. And whenever they had sacrifices, which ones did they sacrifice? The ones that had blemishes? No. They sacrificed the ones that were without spot. The ones that were blameless. And see, that's what we are to be. We are to be that sacrifice that doesn't have spot. And in order to do that, we've got to be set apart from the world. We do that by seeking first the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and what does He say? "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." You see, loving God, we love Him more than we love this present world. We love Him more than we love those other activities that we showed. Luke 9:23, "And He said to them all, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." Following after the one who was the blameless one on the cross. But when I read this list, these four things, how does that list sound in the comparison of all those other things? What would the world say? This list right here is not any fun. This list right here is boring, and you know, I don't even know who would even want to be doing those things. You don't even have any fun in your life. You see, this list, the world is going to say, I don't want any part of that. But you see, being called different, here's another quote that I found. Being called different is like being called a limited edition. Let me say that one more time. Being called different is like being called a limited edition because, you see, meaning you're something that people don't see often. I can tell you with 25, just over 25% saying it's okay for marital to have premarital relations. You don't see that very, so definitely being a limited edition is something that is that people are not going to see very often. Young people, middle-aged people, older people, we want to be a limited edition. We want to be what people you know, they don't see a whole lot of. We want to be a Christian. You see, because living for Christ is the only way to truly live. Living for Christ is the only way to truly live. And you're going to get all kinds of advice that contradicts this, but all that advice is a lie. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, who loved you, and gave himself for us. I'm crucified with him, meaning I'm dead to that old way of life. And this life that I'm now living, this Matt Taylor in this flesh, has to be living for the Spirit, not living for the flesh, not living for the world. You're going to get all kinds of bad advice from sources in your lifetime. And sadly sometimes, the bad advice comes from those who are considered believers. I've seen brothers and sisters in Christ who encourage ungodly behaviors. I've seen young people participate in those ungodly behaviors because they were encouraged by someone who was supposed to be standing up for Jesus. And they'll say, you know what? They only have one life to live. Let them live it. And you know what? They're right. They do only have one life to live. There's only one. So don't mess it up. If the advice is contrary to what God wants for His children, then we need to be seeking advice somewhere else. Because as you can see from this little cartoon up here, your eyes are fine. It's just that some eye charts, the type is too small. They're going to change it. They're going to make you think that it's okay. It's something, other people are wrong. But if that's the advice you take, and that's the road that you want to follow, then it's like the blind leading the blind. It's just like the blind leading the blind. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, listen to what Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. He said, you know, you let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. If the blind is leading the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. So you may have someone in your life that's telling you, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that. It's okay to participate in ungodly behaviors. But you are following after someone who is blinded from the truth, or choosing to be blinded from the truth. Who is leading you? Who is leading me? Are you leading yourself? Are you taking ungodly advice? Am I taking ungodly advice? And if we are, where does that lead us? You see, God wants us to listen to counsel. He wants us to listen to good, sound, godly advice. In Isaiah 30, verses 1 and 2, he says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that takes counsel. So he's saying, woe to these rebellious children who are taking counsel, but not of me. They're seeking counsel, but it's not of me. And what does he say? That covereth with a covering, but not of my Spirit, that they may add sin to sin. When the blind leads the blind, that's adding sin to sin. When you follow ungodly advice, you're adding sin to sin. They were going and they were looking for strength in somewhere where the strength didn't lie. In Proverbs 19, verse 20, what did he say? Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Listen to those who have been there and done that. Listen to those who have, maybe they went down that wrong path, but now they're trying to correct it. Listen to those. Don't follow in the footsteps of those who are giving you ungodly advice. Listen to truth. In Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy truth. Don't sell it. Buy wisdom. Don't sell it. Buy instruction and don't sell it. Buy understanding and don't sell it. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter the cost. Don't sell it. In Matthew chapter 13, 45 and 46, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So here you have this individual, they're looking for these goodly pearls, maybe for a specific one. They're looking for the best. And look at verse 46, who, when he found the one pearl of great price, he found what he was looking for. And what did he do? He went, he sold all that he had, and he bought it. Why? Buying the truth and selling it not. Finding what is good. Holding on to what is good. Not giving up. So does it come with a cost? Does following after godly advice sometimes come with a cost? Yes, it does. But you will not have a regret if you do. We have regrets in our life when we have not been when we've not walked in the footsteps and the paths of Jesus. That's when we have regrets over things that we've done in the past. But when we get in the steps of Jesus, we put those things that are behind us, those mistakes that we've done, we leave them. And while I'm here tonight, I'm talking to sometimes I feel like I'm talking to the younger crowd, but I think it's something that we can all apply to ourselves because we're all examples. We all influence each other. We have to see each other making those sacrifices to remain faithful to Him. I said this a while ago about Jesus saying, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. But look what also he said in verse 25 and 26. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it a man profited if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What wrong advice are you willing to take to put your soul into jeopardy? What is it going to profit you when you follow after ungodly advice? We need to be treasuring His commands. When we turn to Proverbs chapter 2, look at these verses in verses 1 through 9. He says, My child, listen to what I say, and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom, and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight, and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Think of something that's very valuable to you. If you lost it, what are you going to do? You're going to be searching for it. You're going to be searching for it as if it were some silver, something, some precious treasure. That's what he says for you. Seek that wisdom. Concentrate on that understanding. Want that insight. Ask for understanding. Seek that godly advice as if it is a hidden treasure. Because what happens when we do? Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you will gain knowledge of God. He says, he goes on and he says, He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just. He protects those who are faithful to Him. then you will understand what is right, what is just, what is fair, and you will find the right way to go. When you seek after wisdom, when you seek after that godly advice. We see this come into play in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, when it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." So blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. Happy is this man. This man is happy because he's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's happy because he's not standing in the way of the sinners. He's happy because he is not sitting in the seats of the scornful. Why? Because his delight is where? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit, and in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, young folks, when you treasure those commands, when you seek and follow that godly advice, you will be blessed. You will be happy. Because your delight is in him. Those other things, moments of pleasures, they're going to vanish away. But a life in Christ is eternity. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You see, when we're in this ungodly world, and we're seeking godly advice, we want to live the right way. We want to buy the truth, and we don't want to sell it because we want life. We want life that is everlasting. And in order to do that, you've got to come to the Father through Jesus. Tonight it may be that you have in your life that you've listened to some ungodly advice and that you've fallen short of the glory of God. It may be that tonight you want to come and confess that and have those sins washed away and start anew. It may be that your life, that you're not a Christian and you're not on that path that leads to heaven. Won't you come tonight and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord? Our song tonight is number 50. Number 50. Are you washed in the blood? Are you? If not, why not? Do it tonight as we stand and as we sing.